We talk a lot about clutter, but clutter is not the only diagnosis when your home feels hard or off. You may have a huge systems gap. In fact, many times when homes feel like they technically work, but living in them just feels heavier and harder than expected, or you might find that simple tasks just take more energy than they should. The issue sometimes shows up as clutter or friction or constant resetting, but oftentimes the underlying cause points to a systems gap. So today I'm going to share what a systems gap even is, signs that you have a systems gap, and what closing this gap actually looks like. And stay to the end. I'm going to be sharing about a live implementation workshop. We're going to be talking about systems and habits and closing at least one systems gap in a real area of your home so that it stops feeling so hard to maintain. Now, I talk a lot on the channel about systems. I'll be sure to link one of my first videos about systems here, which is where I talked about 15 systems that have simplified my life. And that gives you a real tangible example of what systems might look like, because it can look like a lot of things. But a system in general is parts that work together to produce predictable outcomes. And in a home, this is something that answers three questions. Where does this begin? What happens in the middle? And how does this end? So you can have this for literally every aspect of your home. You could have it for your process for doing the dishes, your process for taking care of the kids in the evening, what you do with your mail whenever it comes in. The systems are the how. They're how things get done. I've explained it before as like an engine that keeps everything functioning. It's hopefully a well-oiled machine that keeps everybody on the same page and makes things run smoothly. And when systems are missing, they're not present at all, you don't really have any source or function for why things run the way they do or what people are supposed to do after they eat a meal or, you know, who's responsible for what. There's just no system in your place. Or if you do have systems, but they're not functioning properly, they're not working, you develop a systems gap. And the more out of sync everything gets, the bigger that gap becomes. It's a missing or incomplete structure to support your daily actions. And it quickly starts to become noticeable when those actions start needing to rely on things like memory and energy and decision making on repeat because those systems aren't there to back them up. So it's really not about effort or intention. It's about what happens by default or what should be happening by default. So here are some quick signs, and we're going to talk about some more signs later throughout this episode. This could be mail that's shoved in several different drawers to where you don't even know where your bills are, or you have a stack of stuff right by the doorway because that's as far as the mail ever gets and you have no clue what's in there, or countertops that have become holding zones for all of your appliances. So they're all just sitting out on the counter and there's no real rhyme or reason. And so it's become cumbersome for you to actually use your counter space or move around, or for anybody to know what the process is for cleaning these appliances and putting them back into any specific location. It could look like two people who live in a household who can't agree on the appropriate places for different things. And so one person thinks that the Tupperware should go in this cabinet and the mug should go in another cabinet. And another person feels that they belong in two different locations. And so everybody's just kind of doing their own thing and their systems are clashing and there is no way to know where anything is located at any given time. Or, you know, you're constantly just moving things out of the way, moving piles from one spot to another, not because you're lazy, but because you really have no idea where the appropriate spot for any of those things is, or there's currently not an appropriate designated spot. Or maybe you feel tense when someone comes over to help you because you know that things are going to end up somewhere different, because the spot that's in your head where you usually put it isn't really a designated systematic spot. It's just a habitual drop spot. Now, a lot of those were focused more on the idea of not having a home for everything, but honestly, it could be anything. It could be you frequently find yourself having friction and arguments with other people who live in the household because everybody expected somebody else to do the dishes. There are no defined rules or responsibilities or even unspoken agreements. Everything is just kind of happens when it happens. When systems are missing, people improvise, and improvision works once and then it breaks down. And it keeps people not on the same page, but at each other's throat all the time. And there's a lot of tension and frustration and difficulty with living in the home that's supposed to be supporting you. Now, I've talked about cognitive load theory before, and that's a lot of what this comes down to and why it can be so painful to live in a home that has a huge systems gap. I'll be sure to share some links to other videos and articles where I talk more about cognitive load theory. But basically, according to cognitive load theory, our working memory only has so much room. And when it's overloaded by too many inputs, like visual clutter, unmade choices, to-do items, it struggles to process new information or maintain focus. In fact, our working memory can only hold about 4 to 7 pieces of information at a time before it starts to break down. And cognitive load theory, or CLT, divides the load in your memory into 3 types: intrinsic, extraneous, and germane. So I'm not going to get into all of those because I have these other articles, but mostly what we're paying attention to here is the extraneous load, which is the unnecessary or distracting information that makes it hard to focus. When systems are unclear, that mental load increases because we're having to make constant decisions and figure things out on the spot. And that leads to fatigue and avoidance. So the home translation of this is that you're having to make repeated decisions, remembering where everything goes or finding a spot where it can go this time, figuring out the next steps of whatever process you're in the middle of doing, and then mentally tracking any unfinished tasks that have been left up in the air. And all of these are forms of extraneous cognitive load created by poor system design. And this explains why the home feels heavy and people are tired by the end of the day, and why clutter continues to creep back in even when you have good intentions and you feel like you keep decluttering. There's really just no system to hold it all together. Systems reduce cognitive load. Now, design research shows that when systems are unclear, people experience friction and error. And in homes, that friction shows up as clutter, half-finished tasks, and constant resets, or frustration with each other. So the poor systems can actually be the root cause of your clutter. One of the biggest voices in design research is Don Norman, who wrote the book Design of Everyday Things, and he says that when an error occurs, the system should be blamed, not the user. He talks about how systems and design should make the correct action obvious. And so often, when design or systems are unclear, people tend to blame themselves or each other instead of the system. So let's talk about how these systems gaps make a home feel hard. Well, research in cognitive load, system design, and environmental psychology all show that when everyday systems are unclear or unsupported, environments become exhausting to maintain. Homes become hard when systems aren't doing their job. When systems are missing, the home is going to ask for attention all day long. Repeated decisions that exhaust your mental energy, energy that gets spent on remembering and correcting things, or small messes that feel much louder than they actually are because everything is in disarray. Maintenance feels constant when you're living like this, but predictable environments reduce stress. And I've talked before about how our brains crave predictability. They don't crave perfection. They crave predictability. The more predictable we can make things, you know, I'm not saying it has to be boring or it has to be just the same old thing every day, but the more predictability we can give our systems and our daily processes at home, the more our brains are going to get on board and the more ease and less stress our nervous systems will feel. So here are a few more signs and some ways that these systems gaps can translate into our homes. Multi-step processes that get abandoned halfway, or the task stalls out, or overflow happens when limits are undefined. Limits, by the way, and borders, boundaries, is another big thing that is talked about significantly in the design research and environmental research, that having boundaries and borders and sticking to them is huge in maintaining systems. The borders and the boundaries are part of the structure of the system. And finally, people feel messy or lazy when systems are unclear. Having systems or a lack of systems or having huge systems gaps can change the way you feel about yourself. It can make you feel like you're a disorganized, lazy, messy person when that's not necessarily the case. It's your systems. Like that quote from Don Norman, blame the systems, not the person. Okay, so why won't decluttering close the gap? Why won't decluttering fix this problem? Well, removing items creates temporary relief, not long-term relief, not for this problem. Without structure, everything relies on you. Every maintenance task relies on you to think about it and execute it all over again, each time. And over time, those default behaviors, any negative behaviors you have about decluttering or shoving mail into drawers or stacking things by the front door, those behaviors will return because there were no systems or structures to keep them from returning. So without system support, any decluttering efforts you've already made are going to come undone anyway. It's all about defaults, not effort. People will follow the path of least resistance. And when no default exists, actions become inconsistent. Interestingly enough, that is based on behavioral systems and default effects, which is a totally different segment of research that's more based on behavioral psychology. And it's used heavily in organizational design and public policy in place like hospitals, aviation, safety systems, and process engineering. And every time they find that people follow default pathways. If there's already a default, easy to follow path set out in front of you, the masses will follow that path every time. And if there is no path, disarray and chaos is going to settle in. And of course, systems succeed when the desired action is the path of least resistance. And I talk about that a lot as one of my core principles for handling things like miscellaneous clutter and junk drawers is planning your systems to follow a path of least resistance. So what does closing a systems gap actually look like? It looks like knowing where things go, knowing how tasks are supposed to end, and what happens next at any given part of a process. It looks like fewer decisions built into the environment that you live in and clear endpoints for everyday tasks. It looks like physical limits and boundaries that prevent overflow and a home that resets itself with minimal effort because you're not having to reinvent the wheel every single time. I mentioned earlier about structure and systems theory. Systems theory says that systems without constraints, which are boundaries, expand until failure. They will continue to expand and change and alter until they eventually fail. Physical limits stabilize systems over time. That's why things like bins and containers and structural limitations for all of your stuff are so important, having a home for everything, because those physical limits help to stabilize your system. Shelves without limits lead to overflow. Drawers without categories become junk drawers. Surfaces without purpose will attract clutter. In system design, constraints are what keep the system stable. And when a home lacks physical limits, accumulation becomes inevitable. Again, leading to your clutter, which is another reason why decluttering itself won't solve the problem. So consider things like containers, spatial limits, or as I call them, spatial constraints, assigned zones. A difficult home or a hard home doesn't necessarily mean that something is wrong with your home itself. It usually means that this layer of support is missing, and this layer of support is systems. But even if you have a huge systems gap, which many people do, systems are learnable and buildable. Anybody can learn how to create systems and live within those systems. Honestly, it's the living within the systems that takes more time to learn than deciding what a system's going to be and creating it in the first place. But small structural changes can change the whole feel of a space and how you live inside of it. So I'm going to be hosting a live implementation workshop where we talk about systems and habits and how to close the systems gap in at least one area of your home if you're feeling some of that tension. Implementation, by the way, means that we're doing it all together. We're creating some of these systems live together. So I'll have more information about that down in the description, and I'll chat with you next week.